The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We welcome you back. It is great to have all of you here. Final hour is live, and let's get you updated on what is happening in Lawrence, Kansas, where Les Miles was let go the other day. And then this afternoon, the man who hired him and presumably let him go has also been shown the door. Chris Lowe joining us on that story and others. Chris, thanks for the time. Always good to have you on. And give us the latest. How did this happen so quickly with Jeff Long?
Well, Paul, it's great to be with you always. I really felt like when we heard the news about Les Miles that this was just it was going to happen with Jeff Long. I just did not see any way he would survive. I think what happened is a lot of the donors at Kansas, at the end of the day, the president, the chancellor there, Douglas Girard, had heard from several influential donors that they just did not want Jeff Long to be the guy to hire the next head football coach. And I think when you look back at sort of how it all went down with Les and the way it ended there, that the more that they thought about it, and I think Jeff has been around the athletics a lot long enough to know, and he said it in his statement today, it was going to be a huge distraction the more he hung around, and they want to make a clean break and bring somebody else in to hire the next head football coach. And, oh, by the way, they got issues in the basketball program as well.
They certainly do. And I saw where Danny Manning announced that he was a contender for the AD's job. But as we, you know, I don't know whether Tennessee is the template, but you do need an athletic director to get in there fairly quickly, don't you?
Yeah, you don't want the, what's the old proverbial tail wagging the dog. So, yeah, you got to bring somebody else in, or somebody in that's going to be the AD, someone that's going to be the football coach's boss. I tell you a name to keep in mind, Travis Goff at Northwestern. He went to Kansas, undergrad there, highly, highly respected and thought of in the AD world. I think he's a guy that you're going to hear a lot of push for from donors, from influential people there at KU to bring in, to come in and hire the next head football coach. And I think a guy that will be certainly equipped to deal with what's going to come their way on the basketball front as well.
Talking to Chris Lowe. Chris, let me just take a step back and go back in time to LSU and Les Miles. And after this information dumped the other day and learning much more about what happened down there and what didn't happen, I'm curious, as a reporter who has covered so many scandals and so many big stories in college football, just your takeaway from the progression of that program with Joe Oliva and Les Miles to really where it is now and where does it go to try to clean up a rather tattered reputation.
Yeah, you think back to 2011, 10 years ago, Paul, LSU's on top of the world. Now, granted, they lost to Alabama in the national championship game, but that was a great football team and a team that was as elite as it gets. And now here we are 10 years later, and they won the national championship last year, but a lot of things off the field, a lot of things going on. You know, you always felt like there at the end of Les's tenure at LSU that there was a lot of people there that were out to get him. When I say out to get him, that wanted to move on, they just felt like they could do better. But as you know the SEC as well as anybody. Everybody in the SEC thinks they can do better, except for maybe in Tuscaloosa. And I think some of the political forces around LSU sort of helped Les, were on his side. Oliva certainly wasn't. And four games into the 16th season, they got it. And, you know, you heard Jimbo Fisher's name, heard all sorts of names, Tom Herman. They end up with Ed. A lot of people felt like that was, you know, never going to work. Well, lo and behold, Ed went to national championship last year and really did a great job of assembling people, going out and getting staff around him. But now here we are off the field with this, you know, complete investigation into some of the way things have been handled with sexual assaults and domestic incidents going back before Ed was head coach. So, yeah, you're right. There's a lot going on there at LSU. Just like Kansas, you got issues with the basketball team as well. So it's a mess right now. We'll see where it all ends.
Speaking of that, Chris, you live in East Tennessee, and we have not heard much, which is good news for Tennessee when there is no big news every day. But can you give us, I'm not sure about an update, because I don't think anything has really occurred in a couple of weeks, but what is the sense of where Tennessee's football program is, at least in relation to the investigation?
Well, we haven't heard much from Tennessee on the field in about 10-plus years now, Paul.
Sure.
Off the field. Off the field, plenty. I think it's – most people I talk to at Tennessee feel like they're certainly going to get something. They're going to get sanctions. They're going to be maybe a one-year postseason ban. There are going to be some scholarship cuts. The way that Tennessee handled this, and you can agree or disagree with it, was essentially, okay, we're going to throw ourselves on the mercy of the NCAA. Here's what we've got. We're going to be up front. We've done this ourselves. We've gone inside. We fired a head football coach. We fired just about everybody on the staff. So are you going to take it easy on us? I mean, I don't know that – I don't think they're going to get off scot-free by any stretch of the imagination. Maybe the infractions are a little bit milder, but I do think you're going to see probably a postseason ban. I told you that about Ole Miss several years ago.
You did.
You know, that was back when you weren't seeing many postseason bans, not as many. But I think Tennessee's probably going to get at least one. And I think that's what their hope is, that it's not more than one. But here's where I think you want to avoid, Paul. When you're Josh Heupel and you're trying to rebuild and you're coming into a situation where there's just not a lot of talent on that roster, the thing that hurts more than a postseason ban is heavy scholarship losses. And I think that's what they hope to avoid more than anything. Is if you're going to recruit against Nick Saban – and Kirby Smart, Dabo Sweeney, all the states surrounding Tennessee. And when Tennessee's been good, they've been able to go into the Carolinas, into Georgia, into Alabama, and get great football players. If you're going to recruit against those guys, the last thing you want to do is to be shorthanded at scholarships. So I think that's the thing to watch at Tennessee, is how many scholarships they get taken away from in this whole process.
And Chris, the postseason ban is interesting because – some schools have tried to, whether it's basketball or football, have tried to get ahead of it. And acknowledging that Tennessee is probably not going to have a great season this year, do you think or have you heard that they'll try to get ahead of the penalties by announcing it now, get it behind them, or let it linger out there, which really could hurt momentum down the road?
Well, I could see those conversations probably already having taken place, Paul. And you're right. It's not like Tennessee's going to be competing for a college playoff spot next year. And coming off a COVID year, I mean, how many bowls are going to be played again next year? I mean, I think that's a fair question. So if you're ever going to self-impose a bowl ban, this might be the year to do it. We'll see if they get to that point. But I'm sure there's been all sorts of discussions. Remember, as Tennessee conducted its investigation, they already had the NCAA sit in via Zoom on a lot of those interviews with Jeremy Pruitt, with some of the assistants. So the NCAA has already been heavily involved.
And Chris, I do agree with what you said earlier. I don't know how a university can do any more to show they're concerned about their program by doing what Tennessee has done. They wiped out the place. And if they don't get rewarded for that, then there's really no reason to ever cooperate, is there?
Yeah, what is the incentive? If Tennessee just gets hammered and they get a couple years postseason ban and just are gutted with scholarship reductions and coaches can't go off campus and recruit, then if you're school X or school Y going forward and you look at what happened at Tennessee. Now, I'll preface that by saying this, Paul. The dumbest thing to do in the world is to look at different infractions cases and try to compare them, because you can't. They never are the same. They never seem to add up. If this school did this, they got this. If this school did that, they got that. You just can't do it. But if you look at Tennessee and what they did and the way they've sort of seemingly gone overboard to try to police themselves and they get hammered, I think school's going to look at that and say, well, you know what? Why do it? Why go that route?
So true. Always great. Chris Lowe, one of the best out there. We appreciate you coming on, Chris. We will talk soon, I hope.
You bet, Paul. Take care, man.
Chris Lowe, been reporting on this all day. And by the way, as we're closing up here with Chris, there's a report out there. I mentioned that, Les Miles walked away with nearly $2 million from Kansas. That's what happened yesterday. Now it's come out that Jeff Long will get almost $1.4 million to go away. We're all in the wrong business. We need to go into college athletics. So no matter how much you fail and are incompetent, you still walk away with millions of dollars. We are coming back. Much more to come on a Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we are back here on the program, and Dennis is up next in Missouri. Hello, Dennis. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Paul. Hey, I appreciated your take on Missouri's hiring of Drinkwitz. That was very insightful, and I think a lot of credit ought to be handled to Sterk, the AD. He's done some great things, like moving Mizzou into the SEC conference, which was the best thing that's happened to Missouri in a long time.
Yeah, Missouri got in the conference back in, I believe, 2011. Jim, since he got there a couple of years ago, has been... Yeah, has done a phenomenal job. I agree. I really like him. We've had quite a few conversations with him, and he's just very level-headed. He and Hunter Yurecek, neighboring Arkansas, have been two phenomenal additions to the AD room. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. John is in St. Louis. Hey, John, thank you, and good afternoon.
Paul, how are you doing today, sir?
We're doing pretty well. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, I was going to talk about a subject tonight that's obviously very sensitive, but I thought you could give some pretty good insight into something that's a little bit troublesome to a lot of people, and it deals with how a lot of the college and professional coaches and athletes are kind of overdoing a little bit by bringing the R word into professional and college sports right now. I just think, let's step back and try to be more common sense about this whole issue dealing with race relations right now. I know it's not something a lot of people want to talk about, but I think there's a pretty good documented trail of college coaches and even in social media right now with celebrities that are kind of playing that a little bit.
John, let me say one thing here. I will not speak to celebrity because I think celebrities have a different purpose sometimes, or they feel like they do. But in relation to college athletes, and I've spoken to some of them about this during the aftermath of last summer. I feel like we can have an honest conversation. I think you have to understand their youth. And I was young at one, you were young, and I'm not saying that they are like I was. I was very idealistic at their age. I really felt like I was part of a movement to change the world. I found out I was completely wrong about that. And I don't, but I think they feel like they really are part of something important. And by the way, they may very well be in terms of one of the most important social movements we have seen in this country in two generations or maybe more. So I think they're doing it honestly. I don't think they look at it as a professional athlete does, where it's part of the brand or part of their obligation. I think they're doing it because they really believe in it.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Okay, but really, don't you think, really, Paul, that we have, I could name, I'm not going to name them.
Okay.
But we really have a couple of coaches in the SEC, and they're both basketball coaches. And one of them coaches men's basketball, and one coaches women's basketball. And it seems like any time they have the opportunity to play the R word.
But, John, I know I'm interrupting you here, but if we're talking, listen, I'm a big believer. If we are going to talk about people, let's name names, okay? Let's not hide behind. If we're talking about Dawn Staley, which I'm pretty sure we are, I am going to tell you she had every right to say what she did the other day. She was commenting, and I think she was complimenting the coach at Georgia. And she was complimenting the coach because it was unique. It was a historical moment that two African American women were coaching for the SEC championship. She just didn't bring that up out of the clear blue sky.
Okay.
She had a purpose behind her statement. And by the way, the commissioner of the Southeastern Conference correctly said the exact same thing here last night.
Okay. Well, I the bottom line is, and I know we're running short on time here, but I just think, Paul, in my opinion, I bet there's a lot of other people out there who are getting awfully tired of hearing about it all the time. And I'll just leave it at that.
Well, okay, but I want to say again, I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but Joni Taylor was the coach of Georgia. Uh-huh. And I really believe she was saying, listen, this is a program that's having a lot of success too. And when you say a lot of people are getting tired of it, what do you mean by that, John?
Well, what I mean by that is people are using that as a cop-out and a crutch. That's what I'm saying.
How is Coach Staley using that as a cop-out and a crutch when that's what she truly believes?
I don't know exactly what her motivations are, but I can tell you, I'll just make a comment here, is this country is a really great place to live. And there's lots of opportunities for people to live and learn and express themselves and have more opportunities than any other place in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when we keep going back to that issue, it's a very divisive,
John.
And it's a very emotional issue for United States.
Don't you think there's
a
reason why many people keep going back to it? Because there's still a lot of...
Why do people keep going back to it?
Yeah.
A lot of... And I hate to bring this up, and you're going to totally disagree with me. It seems to me like a lot of that issue is being exacerbated by the media right now. And there's a lot of political things going on within the United States right now And it's, you know, you just can't, you can't watch the national news anymore without it being brought up and being just used as another example of what's wrong with the United States of America.
Well, I would agree with you. The media has agendas. That's a fact.
Yes, they do.
It doesn't matter what side. It doesn't matter what side you're on. The media has an agenda, and you just have to accept that.
Hey, you have a good one, okay, bud?
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, this isn't the same world we all grew up in, where you put on the news that and Walter Cronkite was going right down the middle. That was another era. Thank you for the call. Ryan is in Maryland, and you're on the air. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Paul. Been a long time. I used to call back in the day every single day, and got into broadcasting because of you.
Well, thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Now host my own show, Two Ryan Sports Show. It's been a long time since I've called. I think about 6-7 years. I remember the day back in Alabama. But so we've been talking about it on my show, and we had Seth Greenberg on back in November to preview the season. Is it just as simple as saying Tennessee and Arkansas are going to play in the SEC championship game? I mean, back then we thought it would be Kentucky and everyone else. But, I mean, is it just as simple as saying it's going to be Arkansas and Tennessee on Sunday?
By the way, I really love your broadcasting skills here, Ryan. You're just skipping right past the favorite, and you're going places. I'm telling you, I like your style.
Thank you.
I think it's entirely possible Tennessee can make a run. I mean, I do agree with you on that. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you're looking for motivation, you know, what is Alabama's motivation?
You know, I think they play really well on the perimeter. They shoot the ball really well in transition. I think the biggest thing is, you know, they're going to fall on that 2-seed line, and it's almost a historic season, right, for them.
Ryan, I hate to do this. You understand this, but there's somebody in my ear saying I have 10 seconds left. You've had that feeling before. Let's continue this conversation as we head to the break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Final 30 minutes of the program, and Augie is up next in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Paul, I'm surprised to hear that when you were in college, you were socially conscious and idealistic.
Shocking, isn't it?
I have no shame in saying I was shallow and superficial and remain that way to this day.
No, sure, that's how I am now. I was much different when I was younger.
Hey, can we develop this Rush Probst angle on recruiting violations at Georgia and Alabama? Maybe draw some heat off LSU. I mean, this seems like a big story that we're just glossing over. So.
Yeah,
I think we need to spend
I've
more
heard
time
that criticism,
this,
and I went back and listened to the tapes today. There's very little there, and
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
Rush,
I mean,
does
it sound? I will say it does sound like Rush Probst. I'm no longer going to use the lawyerly. Well, I don't know if it's him. It does sound very much like him. And I think if it wasn't him, don't you think we would have heard?
You know, I don't know anything about this guy other than I called one time asking who he was because people kept talking about him, and it was like I was in a closet my whole life, and he's some famous high school football coach, right?
Well, he wouldn't be famous if he hadn't been on MTV for a season.
So is that the guy who was coaching when they had that Hoover High documentary?
Yeah, that's him.
Okay. Well, a much better coach and a guy who's a legend in Louisiana, and I know you know him, John Curtis. Curtis High School,
absolutely.
Right? So, and they had this big show on. They played John Curtis. John Curtis whooped them pretty good. So that's what I think about Rush Probst. But anyway, I-Man had an interesting call today. He seemed to gloss over the fact that, well, you know, if we settle something, we can bury the rest of it. But the big story is not what Les did so much now. It's what LSU's adult supervision did,
sure,
which was nothing. And it's still an active story because now there are still people on the staff that need to be dealt with that apparently so far nothing's happened, but I'm still giving it time. But you mentioned college coaches leaving failures and getting a lot of money. You forget Enron, AIG, Lehman Brothers. Those are great places, too, to have worked in the day. But, Paul, I was really shocked that today Paul Mainieri became a subject of criticism.
A serious subject.
Yeah, I mean, okay, everybody expects to go to Omaha every year. So do I. And I do have a lot of criticisms about the way he manages things, but I mean, you've interviewed Paul a lot. In fact, he was one of your first guests when this whole pandemic broke. I think his team was on the bus heading for Oxford.
A year ago tomorrow, as we were learning that the NCAA had canceled the entire spring season, he was on hold, and this became a pretty well-known story. He did not know about it until he heard me welcome us back to the show. He had not talked to his team or anything.
Right, I think I was with a caller, the first or second one right after that. It was like the guy, the air just came out of him. But for all that people can say about Paul Mainieri, and a lot of people call him philosophical Paul because he does talk a lot. But the bottom line is, I think he's a decent guy. And these days in Baton Rouge, that means a lot. It's taken on a lot of meaning since this whole thing with Les broke. And it's not that he hasn't gotten really close, but, you know, LSU is now, we view ourselves as also a baseball school. And anytime you don't reach Omaha, people get upset, and we haven't been there and really been successful in a while. But I say give Paul Mainieri another couple of years. I think he's a decent guy, and I think he's somebody you'd like. Not that
I do like
keep him because
and
Paul likes him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say I'm never surprised, but when we had three or four people calling for the head of one of the most successful baseball coaches in the country, I said, you know what? We've seen it all now.
Well, you know who they want? They want Mike Bianco, who's the coach at Ole Miss, who went to LSU.
Oh,
but
okay.
That's the same situation as Dabo Swinney, because he played at Alabama, we want him back. But let's face it, Dabo's made his name at Clemson. He'd be crazy to go to Alabama. And the same with Mike Bianco, although we still love him as a player in Baton Rouge. He's an Ole Miss coach, and that's where he needs to stay. And as far as I'm concerned, Paul Mainieri has my vote. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And Matt is up next in Ohio. Hello, Matt.
Oh, hi. How are you doing today?
Matt, we're doing well. Thank you.
So I just wanted to talk about how I feel like University of Dayton for the March Madness coming up here. I feel like it's going to be like a surprise contender here, Tom.
Yeah. Now, this was a school last year that was number one in the country, weren't they?
I believe so.
This is where Anthony Grant. It's been a long time since I've thought about Dayton, but yeah, Anthony Grant went there. He was a former Alabama coach. They were number one in the country last year. Would have been a number one seed, and never got to the tournament. Norman is up next in Lexington. Hello, Norman.
Hey, big guy. How you doing?
We are doing pretty well. Thank you for asking.
I am so glad that you and your wife, because you know you're my homeboy.
I do know that.
You remember me?
Of course
I do.
From
Arena.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're my homeboy, and I love you, and I hope you was not offended me calling you the Phil Donahue of sports.
No, I mean, I remember Phil Donahue, and
You're my Phil Donahue.
It's difficult to
offend. So, man, let me just tell you this. I'm just so offended about Les Miles because I loved him. I just thought he was the Mad Hatter and that sort of thing. But let me just express this to you, because the last time you and I was together at Rupp Arena, I think it was during game day, mm-hmm. and if Kentucky
Kentucky and Kansas.
And if Kentucky don't win the SEC, let me tell you, Lexington will be like a funeral. The one thing I want you to do for me, Paul, and this is just a sleeper. Don't forget them Florida Gators. That's who I played for. And think about what they did against
that, Norman. We had somebody on about an hour ago or 2 hours ago. I think it was Pat Bradley who really believes the Gators can make a serious run.
I understand. So what I'm thinking is what they did against West Virginia at West Virginia.
That was impressive.
And then you, my homeboy, is not giving my Gators no love.
Well, it's been challenging to give, and we all understand. After Keontae went out, it's been. I've always defended Mike White. I thought he's done a really nice job of when you lose not only the best player on your team, the best player in the league, and you still make a pretty nice run. You're going to be inconsistent at times, but I'm in on Coach.
Well, only thing I want, Paul, from you, because you're my homeboy, because you know I'm from Jersey City,
mm-hmm.
and you're from New York. If I know you love Alabama and Tennessee.
True.
But come on, big guy. Give me some love with them Gators, because I tell you what, for them to do what they've done against West Virginia on the road, then they did it against Tennessee, then they come to Lexington, and you wasn't here. And they beat, a Calipari team, and I love John Cal and what he has over there. But guess what? The Gators could be a sleeper, big guy.
Well, we're going to find out here very, very quickly. Hey, thank you for the call, homeboy. James is up next in South Carolina. Hello, James.
How you doing there, Paul?
I am doing great.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you about my South Carolina Gamecock basketball team, the boys. What do you think that can happen to get our team where we can win some games? I see we got a lot of talent in the state of South Carolina, but it's like all those little young high school guys, they're going out of state. They go into these other little prep schools out of state, and do you believe that we could change and do a little one and done, like Duke and North Carolina and a lot of these other schools that compete every year for championships? Because I mean, I don't know. It's like I love Coach Martin to death, but it's like he doesn't even look at those guys.
Yeah, I will tell you, and I am like you, a big fan of Frank. I don't think you can not like him if you know him well and understand what his story is. But at this point, and he's been there since 2013.
Yes.
It's getting more difficult to believe that he is going to do something that he hasn't already done. And I know he's had some really good players there, and that run 4 years ago was epic, but he hasn't done much since.
Yeah, and because I was sitting up there watching this thing on ESPN with the little high school dudes, and they was naming all these stars from South Carolina, but I mean, you know, I hadn't ever heard of them, a breath of them, even attempting to want to come to the University of South Carolina. I mean, I heard they got Florida State. One of the boys said he's born.
Yeah, I wonder
Florida
why that
State.
Is, because I'm with you. That is a phenomenal state for talent. Really, it doesn't matter baseball, football, basketball. South Carolina is a very rich state. And
right.
Yeah, and not that you can compare one to the other, because Dawn Staley is really a transformative figure, but for her to be able to do it in women's basketball means it can be done.
That's right. That's exactly the way I feel too.
I mean, there are some places, James, you just can't win. You may have a good team now and then, but the average player doesn't want to go because of the stigma. But if you're a big time college basketball player, especially from that area, why wouldn't you want to stay home?
And that's just like Zion. I think he wanted to come to South Carolina, but coach wasn't going for that one and done. He wanted somebody there for four years.
I mean, Mike Krzyzewski finally did it. Now, last couple of years haven't been great since Zion left. But ultimately, if you don't have flexibility in college basketball, you're going to get left behind.
Yes.
Hey, thank you very much for the call. You take care of yourself. Look forward to the next call. We have a few minutes to go. More of your phone calls when we come back. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.